Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we're going to talk about the priesthood today, all kinds of things about priests, really. But this text gives us an easy connection I can make to something else, uniforms. Uniforms are kind of interesting to think about. And I'm kind of more and more convinced that the key to the uniform is that it being fitting for what you're doing at the time. But we'll come back to that. So there are two ways you can kind of fall off one edge or the other with uniforms. So in the Winchester Little League fall season, it's pretty laid back. The kids are supposed to be wearing some kind of uniform, but a lot of times, one of the teams at least doesn't have 9 players. So, if your team has 7 players, and the other team has 11 players, you're probably going to get 2 of theirs. So you have 2 people on the Braves that are actually playing, they're usually on the Reds. So the Braves have 2 guys on the field in Reds jerseys. That's the best case scenario. Because a lot of times it's like one team has 6 players and the other team has 9. And so they're searching for people in line at the concession stand. You could be wearing anything. You don't even have to have shoes, nothing. You look the right size, you're in. Come on, you're playing left field. So this creates some weird scenarios, like Andrew got traded over to a different team and or I guess loaned. We didn't get anything in return for him. And he's playing catcher for the other team. And then Michael gets on base, makes his way around to third base. There's a ground ball to shortstop. Michael tries to score. The shortstop throws home. Andrew tags him out. Are we supposed to be happier? Michael jumped up and protested, but everybody in the bleachers was happy that he was called out. So it's like, on the one hand, you have uniforms are completely meaningless and not necessary for anything. All right, but then there's another way you go. On the other hand, I heard Bob Uecker tell a story one time. Bob Uecker, like 50-something year announcer for the Milwaukee Brewers. You probably know him from Mr. Belvedere or Major League. But he played 6 years in the big leagues and kind of made a career for himself after baseball by making fun of what a bad ball player he was. He had a pretty undistinguished career. And so I heard him on Johnny Carson one time talking about how his coach pinch hit for him in the first inning, which if you're not a baseball fan, that's unusual and like insultingly so, to put him on the bench, you let him start and pinch hit in the first inning. So, but he says, well, Johnny's like, you must have been upset about that. He says, no, that was fine. I wasn't upset at all. I went in the locker room. I realized I'm wearing a uniform. And I could make some use out of that. So I went out, had lunch, and just kind of walked around Milwaukee all afternoon. People were just like shaking my hands and asking for my autograph. None of them knew who I was, but I was wearing a uniform, so they thought I was somebody. All right, so we're in Exodus 28. The last couple of weeks we've been looking at God's instructions for the how to build the tabernacle and its furniture, what everything's supposed to be made out of, what color it is supposed to be, and all that. In chapter 25, then we got to the instructions for the Ark of the Covenant. And this is the throne, the seat of God. It's very important. It's the holiest created thing that's there, a part of this. And so the ark and the things that are closest to the ark are going to be made out of the very finest materials you got. It's made out of gold. Then as you move farther and farther away from the ark, especially you get outside to the courtyard, but working your way away from the ark, you start to see some things are made out of silver, bronze, still really nice, good stuff, but not gold. The curtains are blue and purple and scarlet. They look like the heavens. And the lampstand looks like a tree. And there are cherubim woven into the curtains for the Holy of Holies and carved into the lid of the ark. And I've contended a couple weeks in a row now that this is supposed to represent a new type of Eden. The presence of God is there above the ark. This tabernacle is where heaven meets earth. So chapter 25, we had instructions for some more of the furniture. Chapter 26, we have instructions for the tabernacle itself. Chapter 27, there are instructions for the bronze altar and what goes in the courtyard, where they're going to make the oil for the lampstand. Now today we're in chapter 28. Really, all of chapter 28 and chapter 29 go together. Then after that, in chapter 30, we're mostly back to instructions for furniture. So right in the middle of the instructions for building and weaving and constructing furniture and curtains and all that, we have two fairly long chapters on priests and how to dress them, how to consecrate and ordain them, and what they're supposed to be doing. So I just had the first five verses of all that, of 28 and 29, printed in your bulletin. We'll look at those, and then I'll give you some idea what else is in that section. So then bring near to you Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him from among the people of Israel to serve me as priests, Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. God's speaking to Moses here. So he says, bring Aaron and his sons. They're going to serve as priests. So the priesthood is going to be like a family guild or something. And it kind of makes sense that God would choose Aaron for this in one way. That Aaron was, in another way, and Aaron was plan B, really from the start. And this is still going to turn out poorly, having him involved so much in a few chapters. But remember, when God called Moses, Moses objected over and over and said, he's the wrong guy. He's not the person you should send to Pharaoh. I can't speak well, all that kind of thing. And finally God says, okay, take your brother with you. Aaron can speak well. So God actually tells Moses that Moses will put words in Aaron's mouth, and Aaron will speak for Moses the way that Moses has been speaking for God. So this is kind of priestly work. You know, there's someone in between two parties speaking for both of them to each other. This is priestly work, sacrifices, restoring relationships between God and man, that kind of thing. So, you know, Aaron has been doing that for a while. He's a go-between. So now he and his family are being appointed to that role, mediating role between God and Israel at the tabernacle. And you shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother, for glory and for beauty. So the priesthood is going to require entrance into the holiest places, the nearest to the presence of God. So you don't just pop into the Holy of Holies in your swim trunks on your terms. You know, you're going to dress up in clothes that are going to be set apart. They're going to be made holy specifically for that job. So you to put on the right uniform when you're serving at the tabernacle, wear something beautiful, recognizes and respects the glory of God in whose presence the priests are going to be working. So this is really important stuff. It says, you know, several times throughout these two chapters, do it this way so that Aaron doesn't die. Because Aaron is going into the presence of God. This is dangerous work. It's important work. It's on behalf of the people of Israel. I mean, God doesn't need a priest. Israel needs a priest. God doesn't have to have anything mediated to him. Israel needs God to be mediated to them. And so this is all, of course, remember, coming in the context of a few chapters ago, God saying all Israel is going to be a kingdom of priests. So this is a priesthood within a priesthood, right? It's levels set apart. You shall speak to all the skillful, whom I have filled with a spirit of skill, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him for my priesthood. So not just anybody can even make these clothes, much less do the job of the priesthood. So the priesthood is really set apart. I'm even setting apart the people who can make the clothes. So he's going to send, he has to send his spirit to a specific sort of people to empower them with the skill to make these holy clothes. So Aaron and his sons are going to be walking around in really, really nice stuff. These are the garments that they shall make: a breastpiece, an ephod, a robe, a coat of checker work, a turban, and a sash. All right, there's a robe. And then you have this other two-part thing that you put over it. It would kind of wind up looking like a cloak, poncho. Actually, it's really not far from the way they dress me. And then part of this is this breastpiece with jewels on it. If you read the rest of the chapter, you'll see that there are stones with the names of each of the 12 tribes of Israel engraved on these stones. So that when Aaron is in the sanctuary, he's literally bearing the names of Israel before God. And the turban is going to have inscribed on it the words "Holy to the Lord." So this is, you know, will remind everyone that Aaron has been consecrated, he's been set apart for this service, and the robe is going to have bells at the bottom of the robe. Because this job is dangerous. Aaron is going to make noise whenever he moves around because of these bells at the bottom of the robe. And that way, the purpose is that he's not going to be able to sneak into the presence of God without making himself known first. Like, I'm coming, don't get spooked. Right? Don't break out at me. I'm not an intruder. I'm supposed to be here. And God says this is so that Aaron won't die. So it's a serious business that he's going to be undertaking, and it could get him killed if he doesn't treat it properly. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother and his sons to serve me as priests. They shall receive gold, blue, purple, scarlet yarns, and fine twine linen. These are the same colors and materials used to make the rest of the tabernacle. So what Aaron is going to look like, a walking mini tabernacle. He's dressed like part of the furniture, the curtains. And the instructions for how to dress him come right in the middle of instructions for how to build everything else, because he's going to be kind of one of those things. And I think it's also notable that the text says that this attire is appointed while the priest is performing his duties at the tabernacle. It's appointed for his duties at the tabernacle. He doesn't sit around the house having breakfast on Tuesday morning wearing this stuff. He doesn't cut his grass in this, or, you know, wear this to the market or when he's watering his sheep. The priestly garments are for when he's in a priestly place doing priestly work. And then chapter 29 gives a long list of instructions for how to ordain and consecrate the priests, and with the, you know, a rite, they get washed in water, and then they're sprinkled with blood and anointed with oil. And then the section on priests ends at the end of chapter 29, verses 45 and 6, where God comes all the way back around and reminds us what the point of all this is. He says, "I will dwell among the people of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God." So, again, he's reminding them, all this is happening, all of it from the start is happening so that he can be with his people, so that God can be their God and make himself known to them. So I said weeks and weeks ago, two of the major themes of the book of Exodus were answering questions: who is Yahweh and who knows what? So this is who Yahweh is. He's the God who wants to dwell with His people. He wants to be with His people, and He wants His people to know that. And the way that He's arranged for that to be possible in 1446 B.C. is to have an ark and a tabernacle and altars and curtains and priests and sacrifices to mediate His presence and His holiness to His people without killing them. Now, the setting apart of Aaron and his sons to serve as priests is part of God's plan to do that, to bring order back into the world. And that even includes what they wear. What they wear is actually an important part of this. And the fact that they don't wear it all the time is also an important part of this. It's important to remember, what's so special about Aaron? Well, nothing. He's Moses' brother. He wasn't supposed to even be there. He's going to have some failures along the way. But then also he's the high priest among the priestly family that lives among the royal priesthood of people. So he's kind of top of the food chain, and it would be easy to see how he could get carried away with that and decide, I'm really important. Well, I am God's plan for speaking to His people who speak to the world. That comes with tons of responsibility, and when I put it that way, I'm kind of the man. Yeah, well, and then the next thing you know, he's wearing his turban and his ephod and everything to Kroger. Swim trunks are for swimming, and workout clothes are for the gym, and baseball players should wear the right uniform for their team when they're on the field and not walk around downtown. Right? And people, what's wrong with the people downtown? See a guy, they don't even know who he is, but he's wearing a uniform, so he's something. So the pastors in our church body are pretty deeply divided and confused over this. Hopefully you don't know any of this, but half of the pastors in our church body would never put on any kind of special clothes or vestments for church, for service, even at communion, in the current Holy of Holies. And then the other half insist on wearing clergy garb while they cut the grass. You know, some pastors think there is nothing holy or set apart about their calling at all. They're just running a business. Other pastors think they are the most important people on the face of the earth, and they should be making every decision and about everything that happens, not only in the church but in all of somebody's life. And it's another example of how it would be really good if people could think about more than one thing at a time. So yes, Aaron and his sons were set apart, consecrated to be the holiest people doing the holiest work in the holiest place. All true. And how important are you really as an individual if God says, yeah, dress him up like the furniture. If he drops dead, just drag him out, dress up the next guy the same way, and send him back in, we'll keep going. The idea is, you act and dress to comport oneself with a manner fitting for the work that you're doing in the place that you're doing it. So what are Aaron and his sons doing? Very important stuff. They're mediating between God and man. Right? The whole office, the whole priesthood is for the service of the people of God, and the formation of that specific people of God was for the purpose of saving the whole rest of the world. Yeah, big stuff. So they take the people to God. They bear their names to God, and then they make sacrifices there to God on behalf of the people, and they dispense the holiness of God and His Word back to the people. And for them to do that in a world outside of Eden requires a lot of instruction and care and planning and obedience, and even in this case a special uniform, and it's very important, and people could die if it's done wrong, and other people can go to hell if it's not done at all. And it's an incredible gift that God has worked all this out, this whole system, that He cares to do this and allowed people to engage in it so that He can be with them. And that's, in that sense, this is very, very good. It's also, in another sense, not good at all. is tragic. I mean, the first sort of priest was naked, Adam. Adam was not, he was born in his uniform. His trees and their fruit weren't made of gold. They were trees and fruit. He could eat it, most of it. God could just pop by on his afternoon walk. No curtains necessary, no altars. Just a man and a woman and their home, and their God. The head of the household was its priest, offering only the sacrifice of thanksgiving, not the blood of a bull or a goat. We get to Aaron because all of that changed. Until, blood had to be shed to fix this problem. And then it was fulfilled. The problem was fixed, not by Aaron, not by a guy's investments. It was fixed by the true priest, the true mediator, shed blood after which no other blood would ever need to be shed. Blood that all the other sacrifices were placeholders for. The blood of the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. And to do that, Jesus wore what was appropriate for his task. The uniform of a sacrificial lamb. He went naked to be slaughtered. That's what your sin ultimately cost. Way more than gold and silver or blue or scarlet. Bronze, more than bulls and goats or robes and turbans. Jesus bore your name to his Father on a cross. And now he comes today, risen from the dead, to be with you, to dispense his holiness to you in this place, in the Word, in the bread, in the wine, and give you a uniform. You get a uniform. Your uniform since your baptism is that you've been clothed in the righteousness of Christ. You're not valuable because of the clothes that you wear, or even the office that you bear, whatever it is. You are valuable because you were created, redeemed, or being sanctified by God. And now you're part of a new royal priesthood. Yes, I have been sent here, called here, to be the person who preaches the Word of God to you, who administers the holiness of God to you. My office exists to serve you, not because I'm in some way holier or better or smarter, that I deserve any power over your life at all. My authority comes only from the Word of God, only from the Bible and from nowhere else. And if I overstep that, if I'm speaking out on my own, if I tell you authoritatively, if you don't use wickers on your ribs, you're ruining it. Well, you are. But I can't say that with thus saith the Lord. Just thus saith Mike. Right? Right? That's why if you didn't notice, I'm dressed like the furniture. As soon as something goes wrong here, you just drag me out, bring in the next guy. Like Jerry Seinfeld says at the wedding, all the men are dressed the same way because if the groom doesn't show up, you just move them down and say, did you marry this man? It's all a gospel office for you. The whole reason that I'm called here by God is to serve you. But then that in turn gives you a calling. You have an office. You, the church here, you are the royal priesthood. So now you exist not only for you, but through you, God is working to save the whole rest of the world. Through you having God's holiness mediated to you and then walking out of here clothed in that righteousness, showing the world what it looks like to be the family of God, to be his priests, to stand in the breach between God and sinners all around the world, praying for them, serving them. You are now God's way of continuing to bring his order into this world. In the name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.